Oftentimes, when it comes to researching,
there are times when it's like, you know, I'm sure I could look and I'd probably be able to find it, but it's really not worth the effort, specifically with the uppies. But how can we tell how many uppies we've ever had? Well, it ought to be rather simple, right? You have that Google Doc that has every uppie category ever. They're all in the same one, except for this year's.
I didn't put the shoes on there.
Which is fine. I mean, I would suggest doing that. So when we're having this conversation next year.
I think this is only the third. I don't remember doing it first year.
So 2014, 2015, 2016. So this will be our third annual then, okay?
Yep.
All right, fair enough.
What's up? This is Movies On Up. Fly up to Venezuela. I am Dave, joined by my Caribbean co-host, Mr. Ryan.
I'm not sure that Venezuela is in the Caribbean.
I didn't say it was. I said you were from the Caribbean.
Oh, anyway. Yeah, by way of Youngstown.
Our tagline for this week, fly up to Venezuela.
I think you get confused on geography, like Shakespeare being Latin and Venezuela being in the Caribbean.
I don't know geography. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup. Twitter
at movies on up. There we go.
If you guess up and we pick you, you are winning the last prize package of the year of our
Lord 2016.
I blank on what year it is.
We just time shifted a little bit.
This is one of our favorite episodes of the year. It is the third annual Uppie Awards. They started all the way back in 2014. On to 2015, and now here we are, 2016.
That's us counting to make sure that we're correct. We just did that.
The last episode of our year is our award show, the Uppies. We have some great categories this year, some from previous years, some new ones, and then some very prestigious awards to give.
Like the Oscars. I think we have at the beginning of the show some that people are used to, and then we do some garbage that you probably don't care about, but it amuses us and fills time. And then we hit you with the heavy hitters at the end. We're just like the Oscars.
Yes, we are. So we'll kick it off, the prestigious. We're both wearing tuxes.
Yeah, we've got seat fillers downstairs. Yeah. They're your kids.
Yeah, they fill up too.
They're filling
seats.
A lot of seats.
But we'll kick off with the first category. I'll say the nominees, and then Ryan has the envelope with the winner in it. Actually, Ryan will do the nominees, and I have the envelope.
Oh, you bastard. He stole that from me already.
Yes, I did.
Because he knew what I was going to pick.
Yes, I did.
All right. Well, I'm already going to file a protest for the winner or the loser, I guess. Nothing like starting on a negative. It's not like we'll continue to do that in this show. But our first uppie for 2016 is the bombiest bomb. That would be for the biggest bomb, biggest turd, so to speak, at the box office this year. And your nominees are Ghostbusters, Ben-Hur, Gods of Egypt, the BFG, and the somewhat appropriately titled The Disappointments Room. The winner, Dave.
And the bombiest bomb of 2016 goes to the BFG.
It does not.
It does. I know you're thinking Ghostbusters.
I'm not even thinking Ghostbusters. It is Ghostbusters.
It is not.
But explain to me your reasoning.
Ghostbusters was not as big a bomb as people made it to be. People wanted it to bomb, and it didn't do great.
And it did.
It didn't do great. It did not.
Was the sequel canceled?
Not officially yet. Gods of Egypt, whatever. That was a March release. Ben-Hur, I think, was a bigger bomb. The BFG, Spielberg, middle of the summer, family fair, nobody cared. That's Spielberg. Expectations, I think, a Spielberg movie in the middle of the summer.
Were there higher expectations for the BFG or for Ghostbusters?
BFG.
Do you honestly think that?
Yes.
I would point to internet backlash and say that the expectations for Ghostbusters were much more higher. Much more higher. I don't even think that's proper English. But whatever. At the very least, you acquiesced to having Ghostbusters be on this list.
I did want to delete.
That would have had no integrity.
Because spoiler alert, it's going to get mentioned in our episode 2 weeks from now.
You can like it. That's fine.
I
didn't hate the movie. I don't like it. But I do think that it certainly was not the success that people had hoped. And obviously, none of these movies were. That's why they're all on there. Although I don't really know what people expected or hoped from Gods of Egypt, but
not Ben-Hur. I don't know the point of that.
People were clamoring for a Ben-Hur remake, I think. It had been far too long.
From the director of Wanted.
I think Timur Bekmambetov. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
And the Night Watch.
Oh, it's my turn.
It is your turn.
Yeah, yes. For my for the next category, the next level award for best video game adaptation. I know leading into this year, I specifically said, like, hey, I think video game movies are turning around. You have a Fassbender joint, a Tom Hardy joint, a Duncan Jones joint. So this year, the next level award for best video game adaptation, the nominees are Angry Birds, Ratchet & Clank, Warcraft, or Assassin's Creed.
Much like The Highlander, there can be only one, and it is a fairly clear choice because three of these movies were terrible. So by default, Assassin's Creed wins just because...
Fassbender,
Marion Cotillard, and Omar was in that movie too, wasn't he?
Probably.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
It's the best of the worst.
Warcraft was not terrible. It was a movie. I don't think Warcraft was terrible, but
it was a movie. We have higher expectations here at the Uppies. You don't win an award for just being a movie.
I'd have bet on Assassin's Creed as well, so I'm glad I got that winner.
I feel like this whole process has been rigged. From best to worst. And it is our worst sequels of the year, more commonly known as the biggest deuce. And the nominees are The Conjuring 2, Ride Along 2, Now You See Me 2, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows 2. And Dave, the winner, if you please.
I think the biggest deuce, it would be one of these movies, but I refuse to acknowledge it exists. So it will go to Now You See Me 2. A movie
that's a solid choice. I don't think anybody liked that first movie that doesn't exist. Ride Along, I guess, was all right.
It had its moments.
But I think people liked Now You See Me. People did not like the sequel.
I don't know that they liked it. It almost seems like it was...
not as bad as they thought it was going to be?
It was placed at a point where, like, it was counter-programming that was watchable. And then the sequel comes out, and nobody cared. You're trying to build this world. The world building is dumb. The cast is very... what's the opposite of diversity? White. The cast is very... white male. Like, you're not inviting a lot of people to see this movie.
Except for white males.
Yes. Nothing appealed to me about the first one, and this one looked even more ridiculous. Our next category is piggybacking off of Biggest Deuce. Have you ever been in like a car ride and you have to go, something's not sitting right, but you only have an hour and a half left to drive, so like you're going to wait, you don't want to kill that momentum and hit the rest stop now. That's kind of what this next category is. The most satisfying wait to drop a deuce. The nominees are Independence Day, Resurgence, Zoolander 2, or My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
I will pull the curtain back, and the only reason that this is a category is just sometimes when we're picking categories, we like to pick themes. And that'll become obvious, more obvious later, where there are actually some decent themes that had some decent movies. This year did seem like there was a lot of movies that did come with sequels, but there had been quite a gap from the first year. And they were all kind of bad. So again, a little bit, but not as much like the video game, because I think Assassin's Creed is probably a better movie than any of the three that are on this list. But I'm going to basically hold my nose and just pick Independence Day Resurgence. I mean, they're all bad. What do you want?
I think Independence Day is the only one of these three where you could look at it and think like, oh, I could see how that could be good. Like, I feel like Zoolander 2, it's like, oh, that's going to be bad. Bigger, fatter, Greekier, that's not going to be good. Independence Day, I could see a universe where that's decent.
Where it was a hit like the first one.
And it wasn't.
No, it was not, because it wasn't good. Speaking of things that weren't good, but yet somehow managed to rise above their station and make some money, we have the stinkiest moneymakers of the year. The nominees... Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, X-Men, Apocalypse, Suicide Squad, and The Legend of Tarzan.
Big year for Margot Robbie.
Yes. I wait with bated breath for the stinkiest of the moneymakers. I feel like there's...
Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. On to our next category. Best performance by an animated animal. Bagheera, Jungle Book, Dory, Finding Dory, or Judy Hopps, Zootopia.
Just because I don't want to hear Dave discuss this character, I'm going to give it to Bagheera from The Jungle Book. That movie was lovely. It should win everything.
It should be awesome, but Judy Hopps was way hotter than any of these.
I knew that was coming.
Judy Hopps is definitely the best in my book. But every animal in Jungle Book ruled.
I feel like I would have been less creeped out had we put Judy Hopps in our next category, but we didn't. Our next category is, in fact, the cutest critter. And the cutest critter would be Bill Murray from The Jungle Book, Ed O'Neill from Finding Dory, Channing Tatum in Hail Caesar, and Keanu from Keanu. The cutest critter, Dave.
We're going back to back. The winner is Bill Murray from The Jungle Book.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to try like argue that Judy Hopps should not even nominated and win right in.
No. Bill Murray from The Jungle Book, just because he is Baloo. His voice is perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bill Murray gets accused of sometimes just mailing it in.
Just being Bill Murray.
And he kind of felt like it, but it worked. And I really liked it. And he was really good. Keanu, I liked the movie, but the cat could have been cuter. I'll be honest.
You son of a bitch. That's impossible.
So yeah,
I want a Keanu calendar with those pictures. Those are phenomenal.
Yeah, Bill Murray, Baloo. The next one I know is Ryan's favorite category.
It is one of my favorites, absolutely.
Of 2016, the sexiest performance. And the nominees are Zac Efron from Bad Grandpa, Zac Efron in Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising, and Zac Efron from Dave and Mike Need Wedding Dates.
You know, I wrestled with this one a long time. I thought a lot about the sexiest Zac Efron performance of the year. Normally, it's very easy, but I had to weigh very carefully a lot of factors to really get to the bottom of this category. And I think it's going to be Zac Efron from Bad Grandpa. The reason is the other two were better movies. So the only reason Bad Grandpa is a movie, it is because
of how sexy
Zac Efron sexies his way through that movie. Neighbors 2 was funny. Mike and Dave had its moments. But Bad Grandpa, the only moments it had.
I could see that.
Is Sexfron. Guess you would say his handsomeness is out of this world. Our next category is the most out of this world alien flick. And the nominees are One Shit One and Three Pretty Decent Ones. Independence Day Resurgence. See if you can pick out the turd in this bunch. Arrival, Midnight Special, and 10 Cloverfield Lane.
This is a good category. One doesn't belong. One should be just happy to be talked about twice in this episode. One is a legit Oscar contender. That's awesome. One is a movie I don't think people realized was an alien movie. And so was the other one. But I will go with the one that I think is the best.
The Oscar
movie,
contender?
The best of the three. Arrival. Amy Adams rules.
Sometimes.
If we ever
she
do
had her moments.
If
last,
we ever do
year.
An episode about Batman versus Superman, we should probably mention how underutilized and how wasted she was.
Or just not mention her at
but
all.
But we probably
in that episode.
Just forget and don't
we'll
mention
do her.
We'll
do her that service.
All. Yeah. But yeah, Arrival. That movie is awesome. The next category, one of my personal favorites, because I like duos. The most adorable duo of 2016, Kristen Bell, Melissa McCarthy of The Boss. Ben Foster and Chris Pine as brothers in Hell or High Water. Mark Strong and Sacha Baron Cohen as brothers in The Brothers Grimsby. Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling in The Nice Guys. And The Rock and Kevin Hart in Central Intelligence.
Now, this one was also tough. I have this natural predisposition to want to give The Rock every award. But as will become apparent in a couple weeks, I really, really like The Nice Guys. So, of course, The Nice Guys are going to win. Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe.
I'm all for that. I could have went with any of them, but I like The Nice Guys. As the
I had a feeling that any of them would have been okay with you.
Yeah.
Because I think
yeah.
you put this one together, didn't you?
I think so, yeah. I do like The Nice Guys. I knew you'd win. An adorable trio if you had my buddy Ward from high school, who was also in this movie.
You didn't add him, and you did this, so you know he's really only got to blame you.
Screw you, Ward. No uppy for you.
Someone is going to get an uppy for the best performance by a monster in a good to great horror movie. The nominees are The Shark from The Shallows, Diana from Lights Out, and the blind man from Don't Breathe.
Well, we could give it to the good, or we could give it to the great. I'll give it to the great, the blind man from Don't Breathe. Feed Alvarez, follow up to Evil Dead,
yeah.
Emma Stone 2, Jane Levy. Good movie. This movie's awesome.
Discount like,
this
Emma Stone.
Is, yeah, this is the kind of horror movies like I want more.
And they
of.
Were all really good. I think so.
They're all good.
I really like Don't Breathe.
I mean, oh, I love Don't Breathe.
I thought
it
was really good.
I love Don't Breathe.
I think you even said it was great. And I would agree with you on that. The Shallows was not as good as I hoped. And I thought Lights Out had some moments. It was pretty solid.
They were all good.
Yeah.
Don't Breathe was great.
Yeah.
But the next category. This is one of my favorites of the year.
It is.
Best sexualization of an elephant. Your nominees are the naked yoga elephants in Zootopia, or Mark Strong and Sacha Baron Cohen hiding inside an elephant during mating season in The Brothers Grimsby.
I just refuse flatly to have any sort of sexualization attached to Zootopia, so yeah, I give it to the Brothers Grimsby.
This elephant scene in Brothers Grimsby.
Okay, I wanted to know exactly which scene you were talking about.
It's,
okay, that's where we're going.
It's the one where the elephants are, there's a line of elephants humping this one elephant that those two happen to be inside, and they get covered with elephant semen, and then the one's butt gets all grinded and stuff. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous, but it's somehow made relevant in the plot. It's not just a cheap gag when it comes off like that. It's relevant later in the story, which I think is great, whereas you think of some of the gags in like Ace Ventura, specifically the second one where he's coming out
is
of
a rhino?
Yeah. Rhino? Where it's a gag. This is a ridiculous gag that overdoes it. It's way more graphic and longer than it needs to be, but still relevant to the plot. It's so stupid, but I just laugh thinking about it.
Another category which would be near and dear to Dave's heart, in addition to sexualized elephants, is the best performance by Idris Elba in a film. Not that we throw fun facts into these categories, because mostly we're too lazy to find them, but I actually did the research. These four movies made $1.3 billion at the box office this year. It's not too shabby for Mr. Elba. And the nominees are Shere Khan in The Jungle Book, Chief Bogo from Zootopia, Krall from Star Trek Beyond, and Fluke from Finding Dory.
This one goes to the Let It Go joke in Zootopia was fantastic, but it's not award worthy. Whereas his performance as Shere Khan in The Jungle Book is one of the best villain performances ever. It's up there with Benedict Cumberbatch in Star Trek 2.
Yeah, with Khan.
Yes, yeah. It's a fantastic performance. Shere Khan is just downright terrifying.
Sheer terror.
Sheer terror. Conniving. He's evil. It's such a good performance. He's got that voice that he could voice anything. And you look at Chief Bogo, who's
he pretty much did.
I know. Like, Chief Bogo is this.
You got an animal, Idris Elba's your guy.
Yeah, and then Shere Khan, they're two polar opposites. But he's just got this voice that's awesome. And then he shows up in Finding Dory. And I love Idris Elba, and especially as Shere Khan. The next category, the Dave Bacella Memorial Books on Up Award, because I've read a book and Ryan has not.
That's basically what it comes out to.
The nominees.
Because you used to work in young kids' books.
I did. The nominees are The Jungle Book, The Girl on the Train, and Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Sometimes I think when you're watching the Oscars, a lot like this show, you can feel momentum for a particular movie. And whether you like that movie or not, like Mad Max last year, I just began to groan every time it won an award because I was like, oh, shit. That means it's probably likely to win another award and another and another. And I'm going to be living in a world where Mad Max is the best picture from 2016. Fortunately, that did not happen. But this year,
worst things happened in 2016.
You're right. The Indians blew a 3-1 lead in the World Series. This year, in the Uppies, I feel like that movie that is gaining momentum was an awesome movie. And it was The Jungle Book. The Jungle Book is going to win damn near everything it's nominated for because it was wonderful.
I don't think it's lost anything yet.
I mean, I'm going to say no. I think it's won 4 awards to this point.
3 so far. 4 if you give it this one.
I did. I gave it this 4. One, so it's 4, yeah. Spoiler alert, 4 awards. From books to other books. and it would be the Neckbeard Award for Best Comic Book Movie. There's one auspicious by its absence. See if you can figure out which one that is. The nominees are Deadpool, Captain America, Civil War, Doctor Strange, and I keep thinking that this is just on the bottom of the page. Maybe if I look on the next page that we are going to see one of the DC ones. I don't see it.
It's Captain America Civil War. This movie was everything it needed to be. Chris Evans is awesome as Captain America. Robert Downey Jr. gave a hell of an acting performance. Some of the stuff he did with just his facial expressions at the end when he looks at Cap, that face alone is worth an Oscar. It balanced everything so well with Black Panther and Spider-Man, and it was just a great comic book movie and a great movie. Like, I feel like it's just a great all-around movie. Available on Netflix now, which is awesome.
Netflix, you owe us a dollar.
The next category is one of my favorites of the year. I believe it's the first annual. It is for the Kick-Assiest Lady. The nominees are Kate McKinnon in Ghostbusters, Sophia Boutella in Star Trek Beyond, Felicity Jones from Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and Ali Cravallo from Moana.
The award winner is very, very clear. But I would like to say a nice thing about who I will give the runner-up to, and that's Sophia Boutella. She's done some cool stuff.
She's going to blow
Kingsman,
up very
super
soon.
Cool. She had a solid role in Star Trek Beyond. She's got the mummy coming.
And you know what? You couldn't point her out in a crowd, really.
No.
Like, she's
no, because she looks so vastly different in all of these. But she has a ton of physicality in all these roles, yeah. And she pulls it off wonderfully.
Her, she's blowing up. She's going to be a huge, huge, huge star.
Unfortunately, she hasn't found herself yet cast in a Star Wars movie. So she is going to lose to Jyn Erso, Felicity Jones, for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
And I'm going
to
roll.
To the surprise of no one.
I'm going to retroactively. This was the first annual. I'm going to retroactively give the pre-first annual Kick-Assiest Lady to Daisy Ridley from Force Awakens.
From last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she was the pre-first winner.
Then can we go even back further than that and give it to Sophia Boutella for Kingsman?
Wasn't Kingsman 2015?
Was it 2015? I feel like it was 2014, but
I think
I don't
it was 2015.
You might be right. I don't know. It just feels like a long time ago.
So she doesn't get it. Sorry, Sophia. Yeah. Still 0 for
you
2.
You still lost to a Star Wars lady.
Until next year when Boega wins.
Well, you know what? Is he going to win the kick-ass ladiest?
I don't know.
The kick-assiest lady? Maybe she'll win. When does the mummy come out? Is that next year?
Next summer, yeah.
Maybe she'll win that next year. I'm sure she's anticipating the uppies next year where perhaps she can finally sneak that award unless Daisy Ridley goes and wins it again, which
she will.
She'll have a lightsaber in that one. So that might be the most anticipated award, the Uppy Award. Next year, what is, Dave, your most anticipated Oscar race, the real awards from this year? Slightly less prestigious than the Uppies, but worthy of discussion just the same. Is it the best animated feature, the best director, the best actor, or the best actress?
For the first time in a long time, best animated picture
is
all the way. Like, yeah, it was okay. It's either Wreck-It Ralph or whatever else was that year.
Whatever one beat it.
It's always like, oh, it's going to be this one. This one might have a chance.
Oh, it's Inside Out or...
Yeah, this year...
Minions.
Zootopia. Sausage Party. Kubo and the Two Strings.
Nemo. Or Dory, whatever the
Moana.
Fuck that fish was. Yeah.
Like, that's five right there. That's not even including the foreign ones that always sneak in there. I think Moana, Zootopia, Kubo, I think all three of those are legit. Sausage Party might sneak in there just because it's
animated?
Yeah, and it made a lot of money and actually got decent reviews. Like, it might just mix the category up a little bit. I feel like I'm missing something, but I don't know, and I don't feel like looking it up. But it's just such a big year for animated movies. Gut says Moana will win it, but I think it'll be interesting. And our ultimate prize, I guess,
I don't think it's the ultimate prize. I don't. It's our analog to the ultimate prize in the Oscars, but we have higher
emphasis
awards than that.
On analog. It is the best picture of 2016.
Analog.
The nominees are The Accountant, starring Ben Affleck and Anna Kendrick. Trolls, starring Justin Timberlake and Anna Kendrick. Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, starring Anna Kendrick. Get a Job, starring Anna Kendrick. And The Hollers, starring John Krasinski and Anna Kendrick. And the winner for Best Picture is...
Is no surprise. It is Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, starring Anna Kendrick and two dudes. For obvious reasons. If you've seen the movie, you know why it wins. I'm not going to get into it, but if you see the movie, you'll come around to my thinking in the end. I thank you.
I have not seen it, but I would have went with The Accountant.
After you see it, come back to me, and we'll talk about it, and you will see that I was right in the end. Now I think we're actually getting to what I would call... I don't want to say they're
the
most...
To make the uppies the uppies.
Yes. They're not necessarily the most prestigious uppies, because one of these is far from being prestigious. And the rest of them are pretty prestigious. And we'll start with, I think this is like the best picture. It's our most prestigious award. It's the highest award that we can give out to any given actor or actress in any given year. And it is the James McAvoy Memorial Award. Now, you may have heard us, if you've been with us for a while, you know what this award's about. But if you have not been with us, we use the McAvoy turn as sort of a, like a verb. And basically what that entails is an actor that has been hated, been reviled.
By me, specifically.
By, well, usually. Although our winner last year was never reviled by you, much to my dismay. That was the NBA Finals MVP, LeBron James. He won a couple of awards last year, but it started with the James McAvoy Award, which I think we should find a way to make him win it back-to-back just for the karma of it, but we haven't.
In reality, James McAvoy is, I think, the third actor to make the McAvoy turn.
Yeah, but his name works so well with it.
Yeah, the Tatum turn sounds like a sex act.
It does.
The Evans turn sounds...
Evans is so... it's so blasé. But McAvoy turn. Maybe it's because we've used that one more often than it's just that the way it ought to be. And to win the McAvoy turn, you go from being reviled to being anything you're in now, we will watch. I don't know specifically when McAvoy made that turn. Was it Filth?
It was Filth, Trance, and Welcome to the Punch, all back-to-back.
Yeah. Those are three solid back-to-back-to-back shots. So whichever one of those came out first, or maybe it took to the end of the three, okay, that's a solid run. Now I'll watch anything with James McAvoy. Channing Tatum has made that turn. I think
21 Jump Street.
Pre-McAvoy. You said him and Chris Evans.
Chris Evans, Sunshine.
LeBron won it last year for just being in a movie.
Kitch won it last year.
Did Kitch win it?
Oh, wait, no. LeBron
Trainwreck was
last year.
Yeah. Taylor Kitch won it the year before for Lone Survivor.
I think he was your pick to win it this year.
Actually, my pick to win it this year, if I got to choose, and it would have been super controversial, it would have been Andrew Garfield, a guy that you hate. You hate him. You hate him. Admit it.
I didn't used to, but I do now.
But you do now.
And I still do.
But Hacksaw Ridge, solid in that movie. And that real estate one, he was really good in, too. He turned in work. He did performances to win this.
He had that other one, too. There's another one that he's in. I forget what it is.
To have won this award this year, but it was ripped from him.
The winner this year, it's a bit of a weird one. This one was a journey. I first saw Chris Pine in this movie called Carriers. Thought he was really good in it. Then he got cast as Captain Kirk. Fantastic Captain Kirk. Then he started doing movies that weren't Star Trek. He did a Reese Witherspoon romantic comedy that was terrible. He was in A Train, very misleading title, because that train stopped. He was in that. He's been terrible in anything that wasn't a Star Trek movie. Until this year, paired up with Ben Foster in Hell or High Water, Chris Pine was awesome in this movie. Shades of his Carrier's performance, even better, because he had to go side to side with Ben Foster, who I think dominates any screen he's on. So just for Chris Pine, who I've not liked so much on screen outside of The Enterprise, to go toe-to-toe with Ben Foster, who I think gave a great Ben Foster performance, definitely his best of the year, but just a really, really good Ben Foster performance, and have Chris Pine still carry the movie, whole new respect for Chris Pine as an actor.
From perhaps the highest honor we can give somebody in the James McAvoy Award, we follow that up with our annual Worthless Worthington Award, named for, in case you don't know, you can't place
You've
the name
him already.
Sam Worthington of Abadar fame and Terminator. There were a lot of movies.
They tried to make Sam Worthington happen,
right?
And he was boring and terrible and everything, and then he disappeared.
So we give the Worthless Worthington Award to people that embody that kind of Sam Worthington spirit. Past winners have included Sam Worthington. I believe we had two winners last year in a bit of an upset. I think Henry Cavill won and
Army Hammer. Yeah.
I think they both won because they both suck. You could make the argument that Henry Cavill defended his title this year. In that the movie which shall be named later.
You can't, once you're worthless, you can't win multiple Worthless Worthingtons. The only thing you can do
that's
after
in the bylaws.
The only thing you can do
is
after
make a
Worthless
McAvoy
Worthington
turn?
Is make a McAvoy turn. The only chance you have.
Jai Courtney apparently did not do enough this year to win that award. Better luck
he's
next
still
year,
trying.
Jai. I know he is.
He's trying.
And that is what we can say about Jai Courtney, is that he is always trying. But enough about the people that didn't win. I think there's a ton of actors listening to this podcast right now just holding their breath to see if they did enough to be crowned the Worthless Worthington Award winner for 2016. That actor, Dave, if you please.
The first annual, side note, Kellan Lutz from The Legend of Hercules 2 years ago.
Okay.
And then last year was Armie Hammer and Henry Cavill. This year, we mentioned Ben-Hur earlier.
We did.
And it's finally a winner as Jack Huston or Houston takes home the Worthless Worthington. You play the title role in a big-time remake that nobody cares, nobody wants, but you just think that with a bigger star power, maybe people care more about it. It was a tough decision this year, but he got the reins because not only was he in the terrible, terrible Ben-Hur where he
literally
was
the reins.
The name character.
Yeah.
He was also in Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, which was one of the worst movies I saw this year. So that double dose gives him the Worthless Worthington Award. And I don't know that we will see him headlining many movies from here on.
But look at the bright side. You can't win it again. So you can really only go up from here, quite literally. And that brings us to our second annual, not quite, Anna Kendrick Award. And it is given to an actress that has captured our fancy through her phenomenal work in any given year. It is only the second time we've handed this award out. Last year, it was given to somebody had a pretty solid year. Good year for Brie Larson. Ended up pocketing an Oscar, and then later on in the year, managed to land a role as Captain Marvel in an MCU, which I think is going to be phenomenal. So, good year for her. But again, started, much like LeBron's great year, started with the Movies On Up Award. So to try and give somebody that Movies On Up karma this year, perhaps an Oscar in her future, and maybe a role as She-Hulk in an upcoming Marvel movie, I'm not sure. Dave, who would that be this year?
The second annual, not quite Anna Kendrick, goes to somebody who's charming on screen, lovely, likable, charismatic, and enjoyable off screen, and it goes to Isla Fisher this year, who we got to enjoy in The Brothers Grimsby and Keeping Up with the Joneses. Not quite as strong of a winner as Brie Larson.
She may not win an Oscar this year.
No, or ever.
Yeah, probably.
But she's likable.
Yeah, this is a not quite award, so you don't, you know. I think we set the bar real high with Brie Larson. That was probably not fair.
Yeah, for the first annual, like it's,
yeah,
it should just be called the Brie Larson Award now, which is unfair, but it's not going to be.
Yeah.
But
we already have an award. We have several awards that are named for specific actors.
Now we talk about the ultimate Uppie Award, the third annual Anna Kendrick Lifetime Achievement Award. We give this to somebody who we love on screen and off, who maybe they wrote a book this year, maybe they didn't.
Perhaps.
Somebody whose movies we enjoy.
Doesn't hurt.
Who we enjoy on Twitter, who we absolutely adore, both as an artist and as a beautiful person. So Ryan, the winner of the third annual Anna Kendrick Lifetime Achievement Award is...
It's unprecedented. You can't win the Worthless Worthington back-to-back years. Apparently that's in the bylaws. But I looked, as much as I wrestled with shirtless Zac Efron to find the sexiest performance this year, I looked in all the bylaws to find out if it was possible to be a three-time back-to-back-to-back Lifetime Achievement Award winner. And it turns out it isn't. Unless you are Anna Kendrick, there's an asterisk, literally, in the movie's on-up bylaws, wherein the only possible person to win a Lifetime Achievement Award for 3 consecutive years is Anna Kendrick, and she wins. She was busy as hell this year.
Big year for her.
Huge.
And she put out a book.
Yes, she had like 5 or 6
Scrappy
movies.
Scrappy little nobody.
Put out a book, managed to run down Marlon Brando for raping a girl on camera. This girl does not stop. She's a real spitfire, this one.
She's already the front runner for the 4th annual Anna Kendrick Lifetime Achievement Award.
Early money. Yeah, yeah.
Next year this time. If we're
She's got better odds than the Warriors do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, even...
And
yep.
She'll actually win.
But yeah, that was our uppies of 2016. That's one of my favorites of the year. Next year, next week and next year...
We'll do uppies next year, too.
It's yeah. accurate, though. By next week's episode, next year's episode,
right.
We'll kick off 2017 with our first ever Movies on Up Worst of the Year episode. Generally, we kick off the new year with our best of the previous year episode. Sheer mixing it up. Do the worst of the year... followed by our best of the year. So let us know what you thought your favorite movies of 2016 were. We'll be recording that pretty close to right when it goes up. So let us know your favorites. There's still plenty of time to get us that. Just to touch on a couple things before we end the year, thanks again for another year of listening to us. Check me out, DaveBasella.com, at Dave Basella on Twitter. CreatedWeekly.com is something that I've barely mentioned on this show. I took a challenge upon myself to write a new short story every week for a year, and that's coming to a close.
Congratulations, you've got 52.
52 useless short stories about bone and dead ghosts.
Adultergeist?
Yeah. Check that out, creativeweekly.com. I'm going to keep that domain active, so those stories will be there. I'll do something with it in 2017. I'm not committing to 52 more short stories, but I'll put something new up every week. I'm just not quite sure what yet. Keep with us, though, Movies on Up. We're looking forward to a fun year. It'll be our 5th year doing it in May. It'll be 5 years, which is silly to think about. And if you've been with us from the beginning, thank you. If you just jumped on, thank you. If you've come and you went, yeah, whatever.
Well,
thanks.
If you went, I mean, we don't have to thank you because you're not here.
Yeah, F off. But yeah, so thanks again. Happy New Year, everybody. We hope you had an awesome Christmas. Thanks for listening to the Uppies. Until next week and until next year.
Keep it up.